Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
51551, the email is drivetime@rte.ie, and I'm watching the screen now. Donald Trump is holding a news conference as we speak at Trump Tower on New York's Fifth Avenue. Just last night, he was criminally convicted, as you know, falsifying business records over hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. Mr. Trump has been speaking at a podium inside the building on Fifth Avenue with media gathered around him in the foyer to discuss the historic events of the last 24 hours. I'll speak with Mick Mulvaney, former acting White House Chief of Staff, and Washington Post journalist Amber Phillips in a moment. But first, let's hear some of what Donald Trump has been saying.
This is a case where if they can do this to me, they can do this to anyone. We just went through one of many experiences. Now, I'm under a gag order, which nobody's ever been under. No presidential candidate's ever been under a gag order before. I'm under a gag order, nasty gag order, where I've had to pay thousands of dollars in penalties and fines and was threatened with jail. Think of it. I'm the leading candidate.
And there he is, and on it goes in that vein. Mick Mulvaney, you're very welcome to the programme.
Tom, thanks as always for having me.
It's a little bit like what he said after the conviction, in the few moments after the conviction was announced yesterday. But the reality is he is now a convicted criminal. How is he going to deal with this?
Well, I think you're getting some insight as to how he's going to deal with it now. You're right. When he walked out yesterday at the end of the court proceedings, he was angry. You could tell that. But I didn't know if that was an immediate reaction and things would change overnight. Clearly, they've not. When I watch the president speak, Tom, one of the things I look at is whether or not he's reading from prepared remarks off of a teleprompter or if he's just up winging it. And this is the latter. He's up there. This is an airing of grievances. This is Trump telling his people, I want to go out and I want to have my say. I wasn't allowed to say what I want to say in court, so I'm going to go say it now. I'm going to try this in the court of public opinion, and that's what he's doing.
And he keeps saying he has a gagging order, unlike any other previous presidential candidate. This is a nightmare for his strategist, I would say.
Listen, any political strategist is always going to struggle with their principle. That's a sort of a tenet in the business is that the candidate often doesn't do what the strategists say to do. But listen, if you're working for Donald Trump, you know that this is how he likes to operate. The real question is this, is that will he change gears over the course of the next 5 months to gain enough votes to make up for the people he lost last night? He lost voters yesterday. Maybe not that many. It's hard to say. Obviously, we won't know until some of the polling data comes out. You really won't know until November. But you got to think there's some Republican voters who simply won't vote for a convicted felon. Mm-hmm. So the question is, can he figure out a way to add more people from the middle to make up for that loss?
I think that's key, isn't it? Because there are people who are dyed-in-the-wool Trump. And there are people who are dyed-in-the-wool Biden. And then there are people in the middle, as you say. How could he win those people back? Because you'd imagine that the moderates would hold their nose before voting for an elected criminal.
A couple different responses to that. Keep in mind, an election is still a binary choice. As much as you hate Donald Trump, that means you have to pull the ticket for Joe Biden, and that might be really hard for people to do, especially if they're looking at things like the economy and immigration, or those types of things. But if Trump does decide to reach out to the middle, you heard a little bit of it today. In fact, you played a little bit of it in your clip when he said, "Look what they've done to me. If they've done it to me, they can do it to you." That has been his mantra for the last 11 or 12 months since these criminal cases were first announced. The pitch is this: look what they're doing to me. I'm rich. I'm famous. I'm white. And if they do it to me, they can do it to you. So vote for me and I'll make sure it doesn't happen to you. And that has fallen on fertile soil in this country. There's a bunch of people who are apparently worried about the government coming after them, about the weaponization of the government. And he's made some inroads with folks who otherwise might not vote with him, especially in the minority communities. Mm-hmm. He's almost doubled his African American vote, it looks like, going into November.
He's made unfounded allegations in the moments before we've come on air about immigrants and about the green agenda and so on as well. In a presidential campaign and debate where everything is fact checked, he's unlikely to be able to get away with it as he possibly was previously.
Well, I mean, I don't know if a moderator is going to fact check a candidate while they're speaking. The other candidate might fact check them. I think a good point you raised, Tom, is now the Biden team has indicated they are still going to do the debates. But you have to imagine that there will be folks within the Biden camp, maybe who didn't want to do the debate in the first place, who are not coming back and saying, why are we debating a convicted felon? That demeans the office of the presidency. We're not going to debate them. And you may see them start to waffle on having that debate. But now, fact-checking doesn't bother most politicians, does it? Are we the only country where that's a problem? I don't think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, well, that's for sure, yeah. But maybe not to the same degree as Donald Trump brings to the party. Do you think he can win in November, despite all
of this? Oh, sure. I think if the election were today, he would be winning. Keep in mind that the polls, and I do a lot of media, English language media in Europe, and one of the things I continue to point out to people, try to point out to people, is to ignore the national polls, because we do not elect presidents nationwide in this country. We do it state by state. And in the states that Donald Trump needs to win, like Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, he's doing much better than he was 4 years ago, and is actually leading in five of those six or six of those seven key swing states, which is why I say if the election were today, Donald Trump would win.
You couldn't vote for him, could you?
Whether or not that changes. Oh, sure. Keep in mind, Tom, it is a binary choice. I didn't support him in the primaries, right? For a reason. I thought I wanted another Republican at the top of the ticket. But if I don't vote for Donald Trump, then that means Joe Biden might be president. And I really, really don't like that. I don't think Joe Biden is fit for the office. I've got dementia in my family. Yeah. I've seen the impacts of it.
But you'd sooner make a convicted criminal than Joe Biden.
Than someone who might have dementia? You tell me.
Oh, come on.
No. I'm not voting for Joe Biden, Tom. That is not going to happen. And there's a lot of folks like that. I mean, Bill Barr is a friend of mine. He was the former attorney general under Donald Trump, a much, much more stringent or aggressive critic of the president than I am. And he said the same thing. It's like, look, at the end of the day, it's the devil. It's either your SOB or their SOB.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of Republicans going to be voting for Trump that don't like him very much.
Yeah. There's no proof at the moment that Joe Biden has dementia. He's definitely slower, like we all are as we age. but there's no proof that he has dementia. But what there is proof of is that Donald Trump has other cases that will follow him, the other prosecutions, and he's likely to, he will appeal this conviction. But he is going to be fighting lawsuits left, right and centre while he's fighting a campaign. Is there any chance that the American public will say, to hell with this, we have enough of this guy?
Well, I mean, there's a chance that enough people say that swing the outcome of an election. Keep in mind, I think in 2016, 40,000 votes in Michigan made the difference in the election. You go back to 2000 and a couple hundred votes in Florida made the difference in the election. So you don't need a groundswell change. You don't need sort of tectonic movements in people's voting patterns to move an election one way or the other in the country, given how closely divided the country is right now. So look, it got a lot tighter last night. I think Donald Trump was winning comfortably going into last night. I think right now he's struggled. You never want to – this can never be seen as a positive. But to say this is the end of the election is to not understand American politics.
Yeah, the claims he made, the unfounded claims, just in the press conference in the last few minutes in Trump Tower about immigration and immigrants and the effect they're having on the country, claims that a dictator is running the U.S., a group of dictators, ridiculous stuff. Are there fears of civil unrest here?
I don't think so. I don't get the sense. Of course, now, that being said, I completely missed January 6th. Okay, so I will be completely honest. I might not be the right person to ask that question. One of the things that makes me worry the most about my country is that I didn't see that at all. And these were my people. I knew some of the people on January 6th and didn't know they were capable of doing that. But with that being said, I don't get the impression that people want to take to the streets and overthrow the government because people are angry.
He's inflaming it here.
When he tells people that, you know, take up the guns and go on the streets, then I'll start to worry about it. He's trying to win an election. He's decided that his base is big enough to carry him back into the White House. He's not appealing to swing voters. He's appealing to the hardcore MAGA, Make America Great Again, Trump Republicans.
Yeah.
And that's a calculation on his part.
Okay, but can I put this to you before I let you go, right? That's exactly what he was trying to do when he was trying to hold on to office in the days before January the 6th. He was telling people they are trying to steal our win here. They are trying to take power away from us. And if they can do this to me, they can do it to you. This is exactly what he's saying right now. Look what they're doing to me. This is a Biden prosecution. This is a Biden DA. This is a Biden judge. This is all the type of stuff that he's saying, which is completely incorrect. And you didn't see the civil unrest coming then. Isn't it quite likely now that people who are really pro-Trump are going to be absolutely infuriated by this? based on what he's saying, all lies.
Yes to all of the above, but does that necessarily translate into civil unrest? Yes, they're going to be angry. Yes, they are angry. I mean, one of the things he just mentioned in the press conference was the amount of money he raised overnight. And a lot of times people will express their anger in our political system by donating to candidates and so forth. Everything you just said is true, but there's not a direct line between that and civil unrest. So it remains to be seen. We could talk another time about the January 6th, but keep in mind that's another of his criminal charges. So my guess is we'll have a chance to talk about that when that criminal case starts, whenever it does get started.
I think we will talk again. Mick Mulvaney, former White House Chief of Staff, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I'm joined as well by Amber Phillips of the Washington Post. Amber, you're very welcome to the program. You're keeping tabs on what Donald Trump has been saying. Bring us an update, please. It's some performance, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Cormac, thank you for having me. What he's saying is everything he was thinking during the trial but couldn't say, and that his allies came to the courthouse and said for him. In fact, I'll add, Donald Trump seems to think he's still under a gag order right now, so he's talking a little bit in code, but it's not clear if he's still under a gag order. Anyways, the gist of what he's saying is exactly what Donald Trump has been trying to do his whole political career, which is to play the persecuted. He called the judge crooked. He said that this is rigged. It's a New York City jury. It's just everything that kind of jerks at people's gut reaction who might want to support Trump to be like, yeah, you're right. This trial isn't fair. And we saw a snap poll last night from YouGov that suggested about half of Americans think this conviction was legit. The other half isn't so sure.
That is just dumbfounding to us here, I must say, and I'm sure to an awful lot of people across America. And I know that the justice system has elected elements to it, which we don't have here. But that is just incredible, isn't it? Has he confirmed that he will appeal this, Amber?
I don't believe he's confirmed he's appealed it, but that is almost certain that he will do. I've talked to legal experts who say almost any white collar criminal defendant would appeal something like this. And he might have a case to make on his appeal, specifically about whether testimony went too far and making the jury think he was a bad guy. But what Donald Trump hasn't done, to your point, Cormac, is provide actual evidence that this trial was any more unfair than any other trial in New York. Yes, he's an extremely unique criminal defendant, but all the evidence is that the judge and the jury did their best. In fact, Donald Trump's defense lawyer praised the jury on Fox News last night. And I'll quote one former federal prosecutor from Manhattan who said, the jury did their job. They listened to the facts, and the facts lean toward conviction.
I heard some Republican strategists and analysts discuss what could happen at the trial before we had the verdict. And they were saying, look, if it is a hung jury, how will he react if some of the charges he gets off on? But the emphatic nature of the verdicts returned, guilty unanimously on all 34 counts or charges.
Right.
It's emphatic. I wonder, was it a shock to the Republicans, number one? And has there been any reaction of significance from Democrats since the verdict?
Yeah, those are great questions, McCormick. Yes, this was a shock to Republicans that I've talked to, and generally when you understand the conversation on the right, because so many of them pointed out during this trial that even some Democrats privately said, well, I don't know if this is worth going after Donald Trump for, this hush money story that happened 7 years ago. It's complicated. It's a novel use of New York state law. And so Republicans really bought into the idea that this was not the best case against Donald Trump, and it would have been a very different conversation if his first trial was the January 6th election interference case in D.C. And so it definitely surprised the right that Donald Trump was convicted unanimously by a jury that also had two people, at least, who had expressed positive views of Trump or said they got their news from Trump and his app True Social. As for Democrats and their reaction, I think it's significant, Cormac, what they're not saying. President Biden and his campaign did talk a little bit about how this underscores the choice is still at the ballot box. Donald Trump can still run for president, even though he's a felon, and people have to get out and vote for Biden if they don't want a felon in office. But Democrats broadly are hesitant to go after Trump too much, lest they be seen as playing into his argument that this is all politicized and driven by Biden.
Okay, it's very interesting indeed. It's like a high-wire act. Washington Post journalist Amber Phillips, thank you very much indeed. Beforehand, Mick Mulvaney will have more reaction from XCA Director John Brennan about this after 5.